Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener enjoys scaring his fiancé until something finds enjoyment in scaring him. A woman learns the source of the labored breathing she heard in her room as a child. Could a previously buried toy be the source of the disembodied children's laughter? And a frustrated little girl finds an entity to help her with her homework. Huh, that'd be great. You don't need Alexa from Amazon anymore for that when you got a ghost.
I kind of wish we had one of those.
Alexa or the ghost?
No, the ghost that helps with homework.
Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again. You know, those inventions like the Alexa and Siri and all of that, it's amazing for math.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, although it's just a speaking calculator when you really think of it.
Yeah.
Because at first when I messed around with one of those and I gave it some ridiculous problem and it took a probably darn near like 60 seconds to read off the number that I asked it to calculate, but it calculated it. It went far, much further than what anything a calculator could do. But, you know, just as a kid, I've never really asked it anything very complex. I've been like, what's the square root of this? Or I wonder if it will do things like that. Can it do geometry? Can it do, if you gave it like those sort of an equations, would it figure out the answer to those things too?
I don't know if you gave it an equation to solve.
Or basic
math. I
haven't
tried it, but I think if you just ask it a flat out question, like what is the square root of a number, it could do that.
But then again, you have to show your work. Do they still make them show their work?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'd like to say to a lot of my teachers from back then, the argument was always, what if you're in a situation without a calculator? I've yet to be in one. I have yet to be in one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're, you know, stuck in the woods or something, sure. But do you need that advance of math to survive, or can, you know, basic skills get you along there?
Yeah, I think basics would probably suffice.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends what you do and all that. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways for you to get your stories to us here on the show. And we, of course, would love to hear them. Our first story today comes into us from Kay. And Kay writes in, okay, so this was several years ago. It was before I was deployed to Afghanistan. I was at my then fiance's house, and I decided that I was going to mess with her because it was close to Halloween. Inside of her bedroom, she had two doors. A door that led to the living room swung into her room, and the door that led into the partition between her and her sister's room swung out. I closed the door that led to the partition, and I pushed on it with my shoulder, making very exaggerated motions to show that it was closed. I then placed my phone on her dresser, which was close to the door, and I hit record on the voice recorder. The entire night, I was telling her that, oh yeah, ghosts are real, and I think your house is totally haunted. Of course, I was making it all up. We walked out of the room. I shut the light off and closed the door that led to the living room. We sat down on the couch, and for a period of 15 minutes, I'd make remarks about every little noise that I heard. It's basically acting like the guys in most of the ghost hunting shows that you see. Every noise I would say, "What was that? Did you hear that?" He didn't throw a bro in there, though.
No, but you did good on that.
"Who was that, bro? Was it you, bro? No, was it you, bro? You, bro? No, bro. Bro."
Okay.
After 15 minutes, I decided to give up the game and went to retrieve my phone. As I opened her bedroom door and turned the light on, I felt my heart skip a beat and a wave of fear and adrenaline rush through me as the door directly in front of me that led into the partition was open. I walked over to my phone and I pressed the button on the side to turn it on, but somehow, my phone was dead. We started the 15 minutes. I had roughly 60% of battery left. Luckily, I had a charger in my car. Walked outside, got in my car, plugged in my phone, and waited for it to gather enough charge to turn on. I plugged my phone in using my auxiliary cable to the sound system. Went into my sound setting and turned on the bass, treble, and mids all the way up. Bass, not bass. Not like fish.
There you go.
Turned on the trout. Treble. I then opened the voice recorder and went to my recent recordings. The very top recording, the most recent one. Only about 8.5 minutes recorded. I selected that one and began to listen to it. It was a recording that I had made inside of her room. I knew it was a recording from inside of her room because I could hear my voice and Marcus leaving the room. As I continued to listen, I didn't hear anything out of the ordinary. Until we got to about the 7.5 minute mark, it was at that point that my subs kicked in and began to pulsate. As I continued to listen, the pulses got faster, and finally my subs completely stopped, and I heard 3 loud, distinctive footsteps, and the doorknob, the door turned, and the door swung open, followed by 4 quick footsteps that faded. I played the recording again and again. I listened. You could hear a voice chuckle right before the footsteps. I saved the recording and listened to it multiple times in the days following. I had no explanation. Started out as a game, and then it very quickly became real. I don't know if you can will paranormal activity to happen. Done a lot of research since then. Still have no explanation. I went back to attempt to listen to the recording, and strangely, it was gone from my phone with me having no memory of ever deleting it. I'm a new listener. I really like you guys' show, and I look forward to many future ghost stories. Thank you for your time.
You know, that seems to be one of the quickest ways to get a haunting to occur is to make fun of somebody who's afraid of it.
Uh-huh.
And try and, you know, antagonize them. Because there seems to be more than a willingness of entities to say, yeah, well, watch this shit.
I don't know that you can necessarily will it to happen, but you can certainly request it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the ghost DJ if they want to play your request.
The Casey Kasem ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's exactly what it is. Like, and now, your long-distance dedication. I'm going to laugh at you from the bedroom. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And it's freaky shit. I mean, it really means it's calling on things is really what it is. And if there's something there to call on and it's in your area, it could very well come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you're trying to interact with something that that you don't believe is there. But unfortunately, more times than not, based on the stories that we get in our show, they're there. So that's what I think happened.
I think so, too.
Interesting stuff. Thank you for your story. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jesse writes in, love your program. I'm a new listener. I wanted to tell you a story that happened to my younger brother and me about 6 years ago in an apartment in Elmhurst, Illinois. My younger brother and I have experienced many paranormal situations. My mom's a recent immigrant from Mexico. Being a devoted Catholic, she's always had an altar for the Virgin Mary. She had a portrait of the Virgin Mary and a shelf full of candles and flowers all around the portrait. She'll often light the candles at night and leave them lit all night long. This story happened during one of my visits. I was in college at the time, and when I visit, I would sleep in the living room. This particular night, I ended up waking up in the middle of the night. I didn't go back to sleep. My attention went straight to my mother's Virgin Mary altar. With my blurry vision, I saw the outline of a child. I grabbed my glasses and I saw a little girl standing right in front of the altar. The little girl was wearing a red dress and light brown curly hair. I was not at all scared of her. I didn't feel any bad energy from her. I just remember thinking that she was so pretty. I could tell she was really happy with my mom's altar. At one point, she turned her face my way and laughed. Next day, I told my mom, and she just thought it may have been the spirit of a child who used to live there. A few weeks later, I had forgotten about the little girl. Ended up going home again for Thanksgiving holiday. My brother was telling me a story of a weird thing that happened to him. He was telling me that he ended up sleeping in the living room. He woke up in the middle of the night and saw a little girl by our mother's Virgin Mary altar. I instantly remember my own experience, but waited for him to finish his story. He told me that the little girl was crying by the Virgin Mary altar. He asked her what was wrong, and she told him, "Juanita was yelling at me." Juanita is the name of our little sister. My brother reassured her and told her that he was going to scold Juanita. The little girl became happy and started once again admiring the Virgin Mary altar. After he finished his story, I asked him to describe the little girl. He described the girl in a red dress, 5 to 6 years old, with light brown curly hair. I then told him my experience with the little girl. He was surprised and a little weirded out. My mom didn't tell him about my experience, and I thought it was so weird that we both experienced that same spirit. To add to this story, my 3-year-old niece will always wake up crying whenever she would stay over. My mom would say that the little girl didn't like my nieces because she was jealous. Thanks for letting me share my experience. Looking forward to sharing more stories.
I think it's one of those cases where the little girl just saw something she was familiar or comfortable with, and it made her feel like she could kind of appear.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes we talk about how sometimes ghosts appear because of their surroundings or feeling, you know, at ease or comfort.
Sure.
By something.
Yeah, because I've always asked and said, well, do you increase the odds of a ghost showing up if you are dressed in the period attire, or if everyone is dressed in the period attire in a certain area? Will that make a spirit show up? Or just put in, you know, insert things of that era for that specific ghost you're trying to conjure up. Will that increase the odds of it? And in some cases, I think it does. You know, especially with older hotels and stuff that are allegedly haunted and things of that nature. It makes you wonder, you know, is a ghost more likely to show up in something like the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island that looks very much of the period that it was from and built in versus the 60-year-old Days Inn down the road that's had, you know, 42 updates. And now it looks like it's about 1995, but the ghosts, you know, are from 1960.
I don't know. I think sometimes it just, with a newer property,
yeah,
it's hard to tell how old that ghost is.
Sure.
You know, if they don't look like they're dressed from a specific period.
I'm just wondering what are the odds of having it show up? If they're both haunted, is it more likely to show up in an establishment that has not been changed since its time versus an establishment that's been updated many times since its time alive?
I don't know.
Get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, there's a lot of really old hotels, though, that have been through countless updates.
Sure.
And you still see the spirits show up. So
sure.
I don't know if it's so much is a comfort thing as it is that's the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a location.
Sure.
I don't know.
Odd thing to think about.
Yeah.
Lacey writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. Just discovered your show a little over a month ago, but it quickly became a staple in my podcast rotation at work. Well, it's time for me to take stories by strangers at face value. I do think what you're doing is important and appreciate the release you offer people who genuinely believe they've experienced something paranormal. I've always been interested in the paranormal, but have also tried to maintain a healthy and intelligent skepticism about it. I think it's all too easy to get swept away by circumstance and imagination, and therefore am usually pretty hesitant to call much of anything paranormal. However, per usual, this is the part where I tell you my own personal weird experiences. Most of the strange experiences I've had occurred in my childhood. There's a lot I won't share because I simply can't recall too well and do not trust my memory or my younger age self's understanding of these events to be accurate. What I will share are ones that have either been validated by other family members or that I am confident in my recollection of. The house I spent much of my childhood in was a very scary place for me. Looking back, I absolutely would say that place is haunted for me, though that can be mostly attributed to the human caused, explainable events that occurred here between my family. However, there's also a darker and more eerie aspect to my time spent there. Among a multitude of other things, I remember distinctly being terrified of the upstairs bedroom that was at one point mine. In particular, I recall believing in my childhood mind that a dragon lived somewhere in that room because I'd occasionally hear what sounded like a heavy, labored breathing. A sleeping dragon. Not too many years ago, while watching an episode of Ghost Hunters with my mom, I brought this up. She was well aware that the place had terrified me, but after we moved out, we never much spoke of it. When I told my mom about this heavy breathing I would hear, she froze. The look on her face shocked me. She went on to explain, "We never wanted to tell you kids while we lived here, but the previous owner had died in the house of emphysema." Could that have been him I was hearing? Maybe. I'm really glad I never knew this while we lived in the house. Another event I'll quickly describe happened while we actually lived in another house while my parents were separated. We later moved back to the old house again, much to my dismay. Anyway, my younger brother and I shared a bedroom. One night while in bed, I don't think either of us had fallen asleep yet, my bed started shaking. The energy seemed to be focused towards the end of the bed, but the whole thing was moving. I lay there for a moment thinking maybe it was the dog before I finally screamed out. My brother across the room popped up and asked, "What's going on?" as my bed continued to shake. Not sure if he saw it moving, but I know he heard it. My mother, having heard my scream, ran into the room and turned the light on. By then it had stopped. I asked if we had an earthquake because my bed had been shaking. My mom looked perplexed and was terrified, and she could offer no real explanation. Was the first and only time I experienced that. Weird, I know. Thank you so much for listening and letting me share. I'll send in some more experiences when I have time. I have quite a few I've heard secondhand as well, so while I cannot attest to their truth, I can at least vouch for the people I heard them from. Thanks again, Lacey.
Do you think the labored breathing was a residual energy of that guy that used to live there?
I would hope so, because it would really suck to be a ghost and have emphysema and you're stuck in that state.
Yeah.
I would think that very possibly, especially if, you know, it was something towards the end of that individual's life and they were, you know, very much emotionally spent. There's probably a lot that was, you know, expelled into that house,
mm-hmm.
you know, from anxiety to sadness and what have you, that could end up producing essentially a residual thing.
Yeah.
And probably someone who's fairly homebound,
mm-hmm.
you know, if that's the case. So I could very well see that just simply being a residual energy of some sort.
I think so. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad the other night, I didn't even think of this because we had an earthquake here. Yes, in Kansas, kids. Earthquakes.
And we don't have just like little ones.
No.
Well, they're little compared to other places, but for here, a 4.7 is a pretty big earthquake.
And technically, they're in Oklahoma, but we're like pretty darn close to the border.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know that Oklahoma actually outpaced California this last year for the most earthquakes?
I'm not at all surprised.
It is now the most active state in the country for earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
but not getting into that too much. But anyway, there's a lot of earthquakes now, and they're kind of attributing it to the fracking. Anyway, we had one. It was the strongest one I've ever felt. I felt a smaller one before, but this was in the middle of the night. It was about, I don't know, 1 something. And I woke up in the last couple of seconds, and I felt this shaking. And I heard this really weird low rumble noise. And I'm not one who's really experienced an earthquake in my life before, other than a very, very small one. And I didn't know really what to expect. And I heard this rumble and I thought, well, that's one strong gust of wind because it's windy as hell here.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's extremely windy, sometimes you do have the effect of your house shaking a bit. And I thought, well, that's really, you know, big wind. I wasn't expecting that tonight. I looked out the window, and usually if you have that, things are scattered about. Mm-hmm. Nothing was scattered. I'm like, oh, must have been an earthquake. And I looked on social media later, and yep, sure enough, big earthquake. What I'm surprised about, though, and because they're mentioning the bed shaking here mm-hmm. on this this story, is I did not even remotely think anything paranormal.
No.
Now, I know it was an earthquake, mm-hmm. but just doing what we do of, you know, when you try and reason something out, my mind didn't go there at all. I don't know why. I'm kind of disappointed in myself, actually, for not thinking, eh, maybe the bed was levitating or something.
Well, but I think you... It's a different sensation because you kind of know everything around you
sure.
is shaking. Whereas in this, it sounds like, you know, when we have the bed shaking stories, it's just the bed.
Sure. Well, honestly, I didn't know everything was shaking around me when this happened.
Yeah, but the rumble.
The rumble. Yeah, you're right. The rumble did play into it.
Yeah.
If there wasn't a rumble, maybe I would have thought a little more paranormal because it really just did feel like the bed was shaking. And at first I thought it was me just shaking. I thought, am I like having a seizure or something?
My mom totally woke up thinking my dad was having a seizure.
Oh, really?
My dad has a lot of health problems.
Sure,
seizures
sure.
are not one of them.
Yeah.
But there's a first for everything.
Sure.
So she's trying to wake him up, and he's like, it's not me.
Well, I mean, you don't know what's going on. I mean, mm-hmm. and to have that strong of one in our area is rather uncommon, although they had another one. I didn't feel it the other night, but I guess it was about the same magnitude.
I don't know. Give me a storm chase day anytime over that shit.
As long as they stay this mild, I'll take a little bit of shaking over an F5 tornado hovering over my home.
Well, I don't want an F5 tornado to hit anywhere. But
sure.
the anxiety that I feel with a storm day,
yeah.
I'd rather deal with that because at least
really?
It's something I am more comfortable with and more experienced with
yeah.
than these gradually increasing
sure.
earthquakes because they're increasing in intensity and in
yeah.
frequency.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of scary. I'm going to go the other route, though, because the earthquakes, they're done. They happen and they're done. And I think they're going to happen, mm-hmm. at least these small ones, you know, and well, there really hasn't been a major, major one here yet. But I think, you know, with the storms here, sometimes you can be knowing this 3 days out, it's going to be Armageddon storm day. I'd rather not be feeling like that for 3 days or this. Oh, that was really, wow, be done. I don't, that's me.
Yeah.
I got to like weigh the pros and cons.
I bet you there's a bunch of people in California that rather deal with earthquakes than tornadoes. It's just whatever you're used to.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's what you're accustomed to. Anyway. Enough about that. I just thought it was interesting. Jackie writes in, love your show and thank you for helping get through a long, hard day at work. I've had many little experiences over my life with the paranormal, but I thought I'd share the one that creeped me out the most. Several years back, I was moving in the middle of winter to a town about 3 hours away while working full time. This led to many late nights of driving through the countryside. This was a particularly late night drive. I left my house around 10:30 p.m. and began the long, boring drive. I was just cruising along, jamming to music, happy to be able to see my boyfriend, who was already in the new home we were moving to. As I drive, I always keep an eye out for anything bright, like headlights or a reflection in a deer's eyes. I'm always concerned about hitting a deer or getting hit by a drunk driver when I'm driving that late at night. Well, a little after midnight, I caught the sight of a bright white light on the far side of the road. I'm trying to figure out if someone slid off the wintry road or if someone was crazy enough to be riding a motorcycle in the weather at night. As I got closer, I could clearly see it was a feminine shape in a white robe with a hood. As I stared at her, she lifted her arm slowly and pointed to the field she was standing in. I absolutely freaked out and slammed on the gas. This was a bright as day, white-cloaked figure. As I drove away, I could see her in my rearview mirror, standing with her arms at her side, just glaring at me as I sped off. I never drove that road again that late at night. I later found out after moving to my new home, many people die on that road every year. I don't know what she was or if she had anything to do with all the car wrecks on that road, but she sure freaked me out. Thanks for all you do. I hope I'll hear my story someday. Take care.
Do you think it was some kind of ghost of somebody that died, or maybe like a almost like an angel of death kind of thing?
I'm wondering if it was connected to someone that died there in an accident.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about this, where you have areas like that. I mean, there are areas of roadway that are commonplace for accidents, and it's not hard to see why, because of a, you know, messed up no stoplight or turning. And there's places where accidents are just more prone to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's a poor design of the roadway. And then there's areas of roadway where it's just strange. Why do accidents happen, like, in a long, straight stretch of roadway in the same similar area where there's not, like, an interchanging road or an intersecting road?
Sure.
That makes you kind of wonder about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have things like that, I almost wonder at times, you know, is there something about, you know... There could be something completely natural. It could be coincidental. It could be a thousand things. But it could also be something like this. Is it because there is something paranormal that's occurring there? That people are getting startled there time after time by seeing something like that and crashing their cars in the same spot?
I could see that being the case.
You know, I mean, it's something to, you know, consider into the mix of why are there so many accidents in this odd location?
Mm-hmm.
It's an odd thing.
It is.
I'm always, you know, every once in a while you get one where it's like, okay, you know, there was, you know, it was an accident. Things happen.
Mm-hmm. But
same place, same time. Not a place where it's common to have an accident. Why? Or there's not a logical reason why it should be a common place to have an accident.
You know, there is a road like that. It's an interstate. I believe it's in Florida. And they believe, honestly, I've got to look into it, but they think that it has something to do with a part of a small cemetery that they actually had to go over with the road. But there's all kinds of accidents there and crazy stuff that happens. And it's really, like you said, it's not like a blind curve or...
Yeah.
A stoplight or something like that.
Sure.
It's just this stretch of interstate, and they don't really, really have a good reason, you know, a skeptic's reason why.
Sure. It's an odd thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens.
Yeah.
I love those roads that literally go through cemeteries. Especially, like, you see them more commonly in cities where you're literally, oh, a cemetery on that side of the road and a cemetery on that side. That's odd. And, you know, for... pretty darn certain at some point there wasn't a road there.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the cemetery where that road is. So you can, in most cases, determine that you're probably driving over where there was once graves. And you hope that they did their due diligence,
mm-hmm,
and did correctly move the bodies and didn't just tell everyone, oh yeah, we moved the bodies.
Yeah.
Because that's happened too. So, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, sharing your stories with us. Lots of ways to do it. Whatever platform it is you listen to us on, be sure to press subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, too many to name. Whatever it is, subscribe and get all the latest episodes sent directly to you. It helps us grow in those rankings and also allows you to get the latest shows right there. You don't have to search it for us every single time. Like, what's the latest episode? Where is it? Press subscribe. It helps everyone. Amanda writes in, hi, and thanks for a great show. I'm currently on parent leave as my son is 6 months old, and I listen to your show on my hour and a half long walks twice a day while he is asleep. I can add that I'm a Swede living in Sweden. My stories are from a house mom, myself, and brother moved to when my mom met her new partner. This house is old and had only two bedrooms and a living room, and since we were four kids, and I the oldest, 16 to 18, till I moved out, I got to stay in a small cabin-looking building in the garden. This place, I might add, had actually been placed at the church and cemetery before it was moved and belonged to this house of ours. So it was very old, from the 18th century. Started experiencing things after going to bed one night. I was lying in my bed, in the dark, and I can say that it was very dark around our house since it was placed far out on the countryside. Anyway, I was trying to go to sleep when I started hearing noises outside my small window and soon around my little cabin noise. It sounded more and more like people, kids running, like they were playing or something. Then I heard it even clearer, and also what sounded like laughter. I got so frightened, I got up and looked out my window to see if there was anybody out there, but of course, there wasn't. I went back to bed and kept hearing it and felt more afraid than I ever had. So, I turned on my radio to shut out the horrific noises. Why was this so weird or scary? Because where we lived, we only had three neighbors. It was an old man and a woman living alone in the family with a daughter my age, and since we were far out in the countryside, there was never any people around our houses, and especially no small children in the middle of the night. Since that night, I've always went to bed with the radio on until I fall asleep. I could still hear the weird laughter and running, but tried to ignore them and focus on the music. One night, I slept in my mom's bed in the main house because my mom and her partner were in Italy for a week, and I was too afraid to sleep in my own cabin. My brother was at my friend's house, and my other two siblings were at their rooms. I was lying in her bed and felt all right, turning off the light. Barely had time to fall asleep before I felt the most uncomfortable feeling of being watched. And in a heartbeat, I opened my eyes and saw a big, dark shadow looking thing standing next to my side of the bed. I panicked and turned on the lights as quickly as I could, and the shadow was gone. I was afraid every single night going to bed after this event, and for the whole week my mom was away, I had the most frightening nightmares I have ever had. All about children and being watched by some entity that did not give me a good feeling at all. At one point, my mother, her partner, his kids, and my brother and myself were all in the living room watching TV. I started noticing an old tractor on the windowsill. I noticed it before, but never given it any thought until now, and asked my mom's partner whose it was and when they had gotten it. Funny, he told me that his mother had found it when he was moving into the house. She had found it under one of the corners of the house, buried a bit under the house, but not enough to be completely hidden. She'd taken it and put it in his house because it looked nice, not really just a rusty old tractor toy. I began to wonder, who put it there and who did it belong to? My mom also told me she had felt that something was sitting on her side of the bed a couple of times, but she never felt scared, so she didn't care much about it. I've always been interested in the paranormal, but not until we lived in this house I'd experienced anything this powerful and frightening. Sometimes I've had something in the corner of my eye or answer to someone talking to me when I've been alone, but never been scared of it like I was in this house. I'm sure there was something there, and I don't think it was the kind type of spirit. I have an idea that if the spirit is good, you don't feel total fear of it like I did most of the time spent in this house and around it. Thank you guys for a great show. Well, it's one of those things. Did the toy inspire the haunting? Did the haunting have something to do with the toy? Did something involving the haunting put the toy there? It makes you wonder exactly how that connection is there, because that is one of the odd pieces to this puzzle, but probably something we'll never really know the answer to. Nothing like having a little cabin that was once part of a cemetery, you know? It's creepy and really cool, but at the same time, a place I don't think I'd be able to sleep very well. There's an old house near the cemetery where I like to play, if you will, or liked to play as a kid, called Ryanzi in my hometown in Wisconsin. And it had habitants for it for a long time. I think it was probably actually the original caretaker's home. And it's just a small little ranch home just outside the cemetery, just outside the fence. And it has now been abandoned for, I don't know, probably at least 15 years. But it still sits there, overgrown, kind of a 60s-style ranch. And it makes you wonder why, you know, no one's inhabited it. It's been up for sale, I know. Imagine there's probably quite a bit of work now. And yes, your background is a cemetery. But I would think for the right price, it could be a very appealing home. That cemetery really is lots of giant trees, and it is set pretty far in front of it. So it's not like you're just walking out your back porch and there's a headstone. It's it's more than a stone's throw away to get to the actual cemetery itself, and it's farmland in every other direction. But it makes you wonder, just having a property that close, do you increase your odds of something paranormal being there? I'd almost say in this case that I would think that that house, the little house, may have something more attached to it than the toy itself. Paige writes in, "Hi guys, I'm a rather new listener, but have been binge listening to your podcasts while at work. While listening to my first one, I was reminded of a paranormal experience I had forgotten about. It happened so much to me as it did to my parents and younger sister. See, we've been living in the same house since I was 4, and I'm nearly 21 now. When I was a teenager, my mother told me about how in the first few years of living in the house, she would see a young girl who was about my age at the time running through the hall leading to the bedrooms at night. At first, she thought it was me. Being a goofy child and running into her room and playing games, when she got up to tell me to go to bed, she realized her room was empty and I was sound asleep in my bed. She'd continue seeing the girl every once in a while, and there'd be instances of lights turning on with no one in the room. No one ever interacted with the girl, and no one ever saw her, except for my parents, until we'd been in the house for about 3 years. My sister was about 2 at the time, and my mother would walk into my sister's room to find her having conversations with herself. My mom asked her who she was talking to. She'd say, 'The little girl who died.' I've done some research on the house and can't find anything on a little girl dying in the house, so I don't know who the little girl could be. But within the past few years, I felt like I'm being watched in my bedroom at night, particularly when I'm having a difficult time dealing with my depression and anxiety. I'm wondering if it's the same girl. I never feel unsafe when I get the feeling of being watched, just a little uneasy. I have my own room, after all. Hopefully, I didn't take up too much of your time. I hope to become an EPP soon, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks for sharing your story. I hope you become an EPP soon as well. We need more of those to help keep the show on the air. So if you too are listening and are now enjoying the show and listen on a regular basis, please consider becoming one. Only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year and get 1 month free. Greatly appreciate that. On your story, you know, it's an interesting thing. Unfortunately, the reality is we hear a lot of stories of things that are not so great feeding into people who are suffering with things like anxiety and depression. Now, of course, a lot of times this gets brushed off as being part of those. And in some cases, it may very well be. But in other cases, there is certainly something paranormal going on that's essentially piggybacked onto an already very difficult mindset. And it's much more than a mindset to be living with. So, could it be the same girl? Could it be? Possibly. Could also be one of many other things, too, that do seem, like I said, to piggyback onto the situations like that when you're suffering through them. Thanks for the story. The number 855-853-4802. Jason writes in, "Hi, I'm a fairly new listener to your podcast. Only heard 3 or 4 now and decided to share some of my stories. I have lots, so I'll be writing in again soon. If you decide to read any of them on your show, please read this one first and I'll write them in continuity. Thank you. I must have been 5, 6 years old when we lived in Montreal, Quebec. My sister and I shared a room and a bunk bed." This is where I need the bell for the bunk bed. She's older than I am, so she got the top bunk. The bed was right against the wall that had a window on it. Once again, I woke up for some reason and I was lying on my back, which was weird because I always sleep on my side. I still do to this day. I remember this very, very well and I'm 100% positive that I was wide awake and not dreaming. I tried to get up to go to the bathroom, but I couldn't. I could hardly move my body at all. I was able to move my wrists around and was able to turn my head a little. I could also see and hear everything, but that was it. I also remember it feeling like someone who was a lot larger and heavier than I was kneeling on my chest and holding me down hard on my shoulders. I could feel this thing, but I couldn't see it. I was so afraid and tried with all my might to get up and run to my parents' room, but there was no use. I was stuck. I remember that my sister was only a few feet above me on the top bunk, and I screamed at the top of my lungs for her to come save me, but to my horror, only a whisper was heard. I kept screaming and crying, but I could barely even hear myself. Not because I was unable to hear, I could hear everything fine. It was my voice. Whatever was happening to me was making it impossible for me to speak. It was so weird and I was beyond terrified. Then suddenly I felt whatever was on top of me let go and get off. As soon as that happened, I ran to my parents' room screaming and crying. I told them that what had happened and ended up spending the night in their room. Not sure if they believed my story or not, or if they just wanted to get back to sleep, and the only way to do that was to let me stay with them. My sister never saw or heard anything. Whatever this thing was only revealed itself to me. I sometimes tell people the story, and they all ask me the same thing. How do you know you weren't dreaming? How do you know this for sure? Is what they'll ask. I always ask them if they're awake now or if they're sleeping. That's how I know. I just do. This thing has happened to me many times since then, but I'll save each encounter for their own emails. Thanks for reading. I'd love to hear what you think of this. Even if you don't read it on your show, feel free to email me whenever you have time. Thank you, Jason. Well, Jason, I mean, there are certain aspects to that story that do sound quite a bit like sleep paralysis. I would love to hear more of your stories and more of what has gone on. Sometimes when we connect the dots more into reality, or waking hours, if you will, then we can narrow that down and weed the sleep paralysis thing out or understand it for what it is, as being part of a paranormal experience. You do have the bunk beds working in your favor for being a paranormal experience, though, I'll tell you that much. I know you said you're a new listener to the show, but we have so many stories of paranormal things happening around bunk beds. If there's one common piece of furniture in our hauntings, if you had to go and find a piece of anything, of any object that is commonly involved in a haunting other than a Ouija board, other than an object meant to summon the dead, bunk beds, I think, seem to be up there statistically on our show. I don't know why, but we've had so many interesting stories around that. All the way to someone finding very satanic, dark markings underneath the wood of their bunk bed. And just a normal bunk bed that they bought at the, you know, the mattress store or the bedded store. Wasn't something that, you know, we found reclaimed wood from a barn. It's literally, you know, something you bought on sale one day on Black Friday. Oh, how dark that was. Interesting story, Jason. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go over to Kate. Kate writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. I found your podcast a couple months ago, and I love it. Listen to it every day. I have a fascination with the paranormal, and while I've had my own experiences and share of minor experiences, my aunt is the one with all the good stories. I used to think that my aunt might be a magnet for the paranormal, but since listening to the show, I think she may be more of a haunted person because she has had so many paranormal things happen to her. She's seen ghosts, been followed by floating lights, seen strange beings cross the road in front of her, and the list goes on. The story I'd like to share with you today is probably one of my favorite stories of hers. I spoke with her the other day and told her about your podcast and asked if I could share this story and to make sure I got the details correct. She, of course, said yes. So this experience happened probably 18 or 19 years ago. My aunt, uncle, and two cousins lived in a small house up in the mountains in Colorado. My uncle was away on a business trip, and my aunt and two cousins, aged 8 and 4 at the time, were at home going through their evening routine. The toddler cousin, Lexi, was doing homework, or the older cousin, I'm sorry, Lexi was doing homework at the kitchen table while my aunt was preparing dinner, and the younger cousin, Riley, was playing in the living room off of the kitchen. Lexi kept bugging my aunt to help her with her homework, and my aunt, elbows deep in making dinner and simultaneously tidying the kitchen, kept telling her she would in a minute. My aunt went outside to put the trash in the trash can and came back in and asked Lexi if she would still like to help with her homework. Lexi kind of looked down her nose at my aunt and hotfully said, "I can do it myself." My aunt didn't think anything of that because Lexi has always been dramatic. Later that night, after my aunt had put my cousins to bed, she was sitting in the living room off of the kitchen reading. All of a sudden, she sees something walk past her down the hallway out of her peripheral vision. She looked up to see a lady in an old-timey pink frontier gown with a big bustle, continue down the hallway and into the kitchen. It startled my aunt, but she got up and followed her. My aunt got to the kitchen. No one was there. She turned to go back to the living room, and something on the table caught her eye. Lexi had left her homework on the table, and when my aunt went over to look at it, the writing on her paper went from large second-grade handwriting down to near cursive, as if an adult had finished the sentence. This really freaked my aunt out because she knew she hadn't helped Lexi with her homework, and there were other adults in the house who could have. I've always wondered if the ghost, and I don't want to say possessed, because I don't think that was quite the case. Maybe came through my cousin to help her, maybe like in automatic writing. The reason I say that, my comment that my cousin made to my aunt about her doing it herself after asking for help for over an hour, I'm not sure. It's one of those hard things to explain. Recently asked my aunt if she saved the homework, and she said she had, but they've moved a couple of times since then, and she can't remember exactly where it ended up. Anyway, I hope you like the story. I'd love to hear your take on it. If you'd like, I can ask my aunt if she would like to share any of her stories. Thanks again. I'm becoming an EPP as we speak. Kate. Kate, thank you for sharing that story. That would be really interesting to see that homework, though. I'm sure you're just as, you know, intrigued by the idea. What does it look like? Does it look like her handwriting? Does it look like her work? That would be very, very intriguing and awesome if you could get your hands on that. But I'm sure trying to trace something like that down, not the easiest. And yes, we would love to hear some stories from your aunt as well. And again, thank you for becoming an EPP and supporting the show. Can't thank you enough for that. We greatly appreciate that. We need more EPPs to keep this show going. So if you like the show and you want it to continue well into the new year, please consider signing up to be one. Like I said, only $5 a month, or you sign up for a full year and you get a free month that way. So whatever works best for you. It's just throw a little bit in the kitty and help keep this thing going. You know, it's like the cost of and I've been criticized in this for saying the cost of a soda. You're right. It's one expensive soda. If you're at Disneyland, though, that's the cost of a soda. Coffee. I think coffee a month, you know, Starbucks, if you're getting a coffee at Starbucks, that's roughly about $4 or $5. So for the cost of a cup of coffee at most places, that's what it would be to be an EPP. So please consider signing up to be one. The number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Omar. Hi, Omar.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. Calling back, Omar from Detroit. And I just want to tell you guys a little bit of a paranormal experience I had over the weekend. All started with me and my friends. They like to goof around and, you know, go in abandoned places and mental asylums and all that. And I'm really up for that. So they kind of dragged me along to go to this old cemetery in Michigan. I don't even know where it was, but I stayed in the car, and while it was snowing, one of my friends decided, and I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but they decided to pee on a grave, thinking it was funny, and I didn't at all. I literally pulled out my window, and I was yelling at him, like, what the hell are you doing? Are you freaking kidding me? You know, it's very disrespectful. And I started, like, apologizing, you know, between me and myself to the grave and, you know, to the deceased. Well, it didn't turn out so good for my friend because he ended up taking something back with him at home. He was telling me about 2 days ago that he started hearing noises and someone walking in his room, and he's been seeing, like, an entity. And I told him, well, that's what you get for, you know, urinating on a grave. I was like, that's not funny. He's like, I know, I regret it. And then he told me that whatever followed him home made it clear that it was there because it showed itself while he was sleeping. He woke up and he seen it staring at him. He told the entity, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And it was all a big mistake. He was just being immature. And mind you, he's 26, 27. I mean, there's really no doubt about, you know, you making the right decision at that age. So the entity left. And I found it funny that he got haunted after he did that, knowing what he did was extremely wrong. And I don't mess with that. I mean, I don't disturb any graves. I don't like stepping on cemeteries. I just wanted to take your part on it. I mean, it's clear that the spirit was mad, but I wanted your take on it. And another thing is, it's really funny when people call Jenny Jen. I just think it's funny in how she stays quiet sometimes. I catch on to little things like that, but again, I do have a little bit more stories I want to share, but leave it for another time. Thank you so much for what you're doing. EPP is awesome. I love the last EPP you did. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Thank you for the story, Omar. We always appreciate your stories. They're always usually really good. And that one, yeah, I completely agree. It's one of those things you don't really want to go mess with, you know, things that belong to the dead, essentially.
No, it's never a good idea to pee on a grave. Doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah, not usually going to end very well. You may not get haunted, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of just one of those things.
Yeah.
Just why? With all the places and all the trees. All the bushes and all of nature. If you want to have nature call in nature.
It wasn't because there was a lack of places to do it. It was other reasons.
Someone just being an ass.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Omar. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And like I've been saying, please consider becoming an EPP so we can keep the show on the air. $5 a month. Sign up for a full year if you want. And that's another way to do it, or you can get a free month out of the deal. So whatever works for you. Make it a Christmas present to yourself. Huh? That'd be kind of nice. And we'd love that, too, because you'll keep our show on the air. So there you go. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.